Tell the person next to you that when I come to the church, I'm not coming to a building. I'm coming to experience God. Amen? I know when I experience God, tell them, my life will never be the same. Amen. Tell them, your life will never be the same. God is faithful, amen?
Amen.
God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. As we continue to flow, partly what I'm about to share with us, what the Lord has put in my heart, sometimes it's good to have some testimonies to go with it, amen?
Amen.
Before I call, I know we have a lot of testimonies here, but the Bible says about there were 10 lepers that were cleansed. Mm-hmm. Only one came back to tell Jesus, thank you, thank you. And he recognized the source of it. Amen? And he came and Jesus blessed him even the more. Said, you shall be made whole. So I really thank God for what he's doing in our midst. Yes. By the way, I just want you to know we meet every day. If you really, really want to soak the presence of the Lord, feel free to come at 7 p.m. every night. Amen. Before I call Bomati to share with us really briefly the miracle God has done for us, he really wants to glorify God. I want to thank God so much for Jameson. Jameson, good to see you. You know, Julia, where is Julia?
She just had to take one of
the Yes. The reason I brought it up is they are walking testimonies. Walking miracles. They've been married and they were believing God for, before marriage, they were believing God for marriage. And God divinely brought them together. They love each other with passion. They go through everything you can imagine together. Young couple, and they were believing God for children. And today, they not only have one, they have two. I really thank God, and I really thank God for what God is doing with them. We give God glory. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. We thank God for all our guests here today. Is that Ruke? Is that Ruke? God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. I'm so glad you're here, sir. Amen. Ruke's dad, sorry. But Mati, come and share with us really quickly, because God is doing something in our midst. We need to have testimonies every day. Amen?
Amen?
From different places, different sources. So it doesn't look like God is not doing something. Yes. And it glorifies him. It glorifies him. And it will multiply. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am so blessed in my spirit for what God has done last Tuesday night. Mount Zion Prayer Center is blessed. Our pastor has been prophesying over us that we'll get things paid for in full. And today I want to share my testimony of what God supernaturally did. I was so surprised, and now I have big faith. The Lord bless me with a car paid in full. Paid in full. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now I have big faith.
Amen. Amen. Bomati said, you know, God will do exceedingly abundantly above our expectations. Amen. We live in a practical world. I know we are very spiritual. We pray, we worship. But there are practical things that we need to do. And there are practical things that help us do the things God has called us to do more effectively. Amen?
Amen.
So, this is a practical area that Bomati has been believing God. And she wasn't expecting that God will do exceedingly abundantly. Amen? Yeah. She's been hearing about Lexis for a long time. She didn't know that one day she will have a whole Lexis free, all paid for. Rejoice with those that want to rejoice. Amen. Amen. God will continue to bless. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that the blessings of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Father, because your daughter has come to say you did this, may you surprise her. May you honor her. She shared this so that others will be encouraged. She shared this so that your name will be glorified. So, Father, we thank you that your angels will watch over the blessings of our life. And you will continue to preserve and provide more. In Jesus' name. Thank you for all the testimonies of God in this house and all that you're doing. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Talking about testimonies, I wasn't even, as I said the word testimony. I don't share testimonies a lot because it happens all the time. But this one just happened what, yesterday. I will not say anything about it because it's anonymous. You know, God doesn't use the people sometimes you expect. So that your faith is not a man. Once your faith in God uses a source from anywhere that listens to God. You might know a lot of people, but God will use whom he wants to use. Amen?
Amen.
I've been trying to prepare for the season we're in, and we have a little annex building, and somebody will give me this amount, I'll put it in. Been trying to fix the place and make it ready to house more people and use it for emergency, for students, for just whatever. So every little money I've just been putting in there, and I ran out. And the work slowed down, like the days, what is it, Zero Babel? So we were talking about Zero, so I was telling kids, I said, maybe we just need to just wait, let this winter pass. But I know the Lord spoke to me. He says, this is my project. This is something I'm not doing it for myself. I have a place to sleep. But I'm doing it for the needs that I see ahead of time. So he's been providing every penny for it. And I told that there's so much to pay the workers, what to do. Maybe I'll just wait. And I just finished telling how we prayed. And we went to pray somewhere. Somebody gave me a check. Again, I knew it was for the place. But I knew it would not pay or take care of what I needed to get done in the place. And then God spoke to somebody, and only I didn't know that God has been speaking to this person. And the person's focus is, I need that place, the work in that place to be done. And big faith check to get that work done.
Praise
God. Amen. Very good
church.
Yeah, that work will be done and be finished very soon.
Amen.
Amen.
He did a lot to me. He took my focus off man once more time. And he put it totally on God. Totally on God. It was from nowhere. Totally on God. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll tell you one thing. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
It's true.
Learn the secret of giving.
It's true.
And your source will always be God. Yeah. Where America is going today, if God is not your source, you'll be shaking like a leaf. Amen?
Amen.
Let that song be your portion.
Yes.
You're standing on a rock that never fails,
yes,
no matter the times.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Today I want to talk to us. I believe the Lord has been stirring this in my heart. And it's been awakening me to it, and you know, it's school you never graduate from. I want to talk to you today about the school of faith. The school of faith, F-A-I-T-H. Amen?
Amen.
You see, everything in this life, the moment you become a believer, everything about your life is tested based on your faith. The book of James says, Count it all joy when falling to that of trials, for the trying, the testing of your faith, faith produces patience. In the physical world, the natural world we live in, there's a currency that drives the life of man. It's money, isn't it? The food you eat, amen?
Amen.
The dress you wear, everything, the toothpaste you use,
amen.
Everything that you live with or live for is through the currency of money, isn't it? And that's money is the currency of the world. And then also, language. I can't talk to you and you hear me if our language are not the same. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
For example, if I say to Brother Ola Kizikodi, all right, Brother Ola hears that language. Now you say to Bomati Kizikodi. She heard me, but she did not understand the language.
Yes.
And because language is the means of communication in this world. So without it, you can't communicate, you can't transact business, you can't really live in this world. To the point even the blind and the deaf has ways of communicating now. Because we all need to communicate. Amen?
Amen.
And then money is the currency that the world lives on. Solomon said money answering all things. So basically, where I'm going is our life as humans, whether poor or rich, is governed by some things. Language, money, and all the things that then meet with life. But those are major things. You see, heaven has also those kinds of characteristics. The kingdom of God does not operate like the kingdom of this world, the things of this world. So the kingdom of God also has their language, their ways of expression. They also have a currency. Amen?
Amen.
In this world, if you have more money, you have more power, isn't it? More influence.
That's right.
And communication means everything. If you only speak Spanish, you can only reach certain people. But if you speak English, you can reach more people. So, whatever we grow in language, grow in currency, we're able to make much difference and able to impact people and able to transact, live in this earthly realm more meaningfully. The same thing with heaven. There's a character of heaven, it's language of heaven, there is communication. And one of those major means of communication, language of heaven, and transaction, the currency of heaven, is faith. It's faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, you can have gifts, you can have this, you can have that, you can have all these things. You can even have faith to move mountains and have all, but if you don't have love, you're nothing, isn't it? Then, after he goes through all the list of the things that power can provide and all love, and he says, the greatest of them is love. But these three things, everything will pass away, but these three things will remain. He says, faith, hope, and what? Love. So that means those things are not just natural, limited to this world, but they are internal. Faith is also one of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit means the character, the nature of God in love. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, peace, joy, that faith.
Yes.
Faith is not just a gift, is the nature of God, is the character of God, is the way God works, is the nature of God. So, in Hebrews 11, which most people might be familiar with, it made it very clear that everything that was created by faith. Everything that God did, he did it by faith. He spoke the word into existence by faith. And then he says the elders, everyone from Genesis to when that was being written and from the revelations about the last days, everything is by faith. And he gave examples of people who lived in this world and were able to influence the physical world because they lived by faith. Amen?
Amen.
So, it becomes obvious that there is something about faith that we just cannot dismiss easily as Christians in our life. It's a school that we are in this world to learn. It's a school that the more you go through the trials and the things of this life, the more you exercise and you grow and you learn and you grow in faith, the more you understand more the kingdom of God and how to live in this world serving God. The more you grow in faith, the more influence you have in this earthly realm. The more you please God. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, this is where it becomes obvious what faith really is. It says, without faith, it is impossible. Now, when God says it's impossible, means no connection. Mm. So that means without faith, there is no connection with God. Mm. Without faith, there's no transaction. Without faith, there's you can't please God. Amen?
Amen.
So we really need to understand faith. And it must be something that, because it is associated to our life in this world, the trials of our life, grows that means we are in the school of faith. There were various people that God raised at different times, gave them dreams and visions, and they try, for the purpose of illustration, let's say this is the world, okay? This side is the world, the physical world, the earthly world we live in. And this side is the kingdom of God, amen? This side represents the kingdom of God. So there are people that live in this part of the world that God gave them at different times God's plan for their generation. Someone like Noah, like Joseph, you've heard about them. God gave them plans, God through dreams or through visions, what the kingdom of God here has planned to do here in the earth, God gives it to them. So when they receive it, just like Moses, they begin to think, okay, let me operate the way I understand the word works. So they go and try to say, okay, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this vision. Let me just try to do it. And they try to use the worldly way of doing things. Worldly school, worldly wisdom, worldly strategies. They try to do it and they fail so miserably. So God takes them out and separates them and begins to prepare them and train them to live by faith. And begin to teach them, bring them to the school of faith. And in this school of faith, for example, like Moses, God told him what he was going to be, and God took him out from the world. And though he was in the world, but the kingdom of God was training him in the wilderness. And when he graduated from the school of faith, when God told him, now go back to the world, he says, I just can't operate anymore. I don't know how to operate with the world system. God says, now, because you cannot operate with the world system, you are now ready to serve the kingdom of God here. Because the kingdom of God, the greatest opposition and limitation to the kingdom of God is me. Mm-hmm. Amen? So, I want to read a scripture as we go through this process. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just one verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That is interesting. Why is it interesting? That word walk, W-A-L-K, really means in Greek, it means live, L-I-V-E. So if you put the word live there or living, we live by faith, not by sight. And that word live simply means the life we have here on earth, living, going to work, raising children, making money, living, just living life. He said we live by faith, not by sight. So what is Paul saying here? What is Paul saying? Now, to make this practical, let's read another scripture that will help us to connect this together. From Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 says, anybody has the NLT version here? NLT, you have it? Okay. If you have it, just have it ready. I just want to read this in King James language, and then we'll read it in NLT language. Amen?
Amen.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant or a slave, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. That's been born again. Crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore, thou art no more a slave or a servant, but a son. My church son, that's what that means there. Because the first son was a child. Now this is talking about a grown up, matured son. And if a matured son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, who has the NLT?
I do.
Okay. Please, can you read it?
From verse 1?
Yes. I want you to listen to the to that translation.
Now. Oh, it comes with Amplified.
You have NLT?
I have.
Okay. She's heavy. She's good in technology. Go ahead.
Think of it this way.
Okay.
If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Yes. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, I've read those scriptures for a long time, and like most of us, we've studied them, we've gone through so much of it. But recently, God started opening my eyes to see it again, taking it a little bit more simple, but deep and clear. So, God uses illustrations with me a lot as we look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk not by sight, but by what?
Faith.
Walk not by sight, but by faith. Now, the story we just read, Paul was using illustrations to give us an idea about spiritual reality. So he says, in this part of the world, this world, let's say you were born into a royal family, into a kingdom, a royal kingdom. He says, when we're born from that DNA, that bloodline, he says, automatically, as children of that kingdom, we have inherited a place of the estate of that king. We've inherited the authority. We've inherited everything to do with that kingdom. He says, based on that bloodline, we are not like every other person out there because of the blood we've been born into. Amen?
Amen.
He says, but as long as that king's child is still a baby, he doesn't know the difference. So he has to go to a school. So he goes to the school where they train them, and he graduates. Until he graduates from that school, now he is taught, he is empowered, he now understands his true identity, his true bloodline, and who his father is, and why he is of that bloodline, and the position that bloodline plays in the affairs of that nation. So he now knows, when he becomes matured, I am the son of a king. And in the absence of his father, he now says he's a ruler, not a subject. So Paul says, even so now, as believers, as long as we've not gone to or graduated from the school of faith, we have not graduated from the school of faith, because the school of faith is basically the school where you are transitioned from head knowledge to reality. Mm-hmm. You become, you are what you are reading, not your head. So let me use another illustration before we go further. And I'm saying all this because Christianity is not living in the spirit and not avoiding your earthly needs and your earthly struggles and the things we go through. Christianity is really the ability to subdue and to overcome and to be victorious in the life you live here.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
So let's use another illustration. A student goes into the university. Before he goes into the university, he determined to be a doctor, or he determines to be a business person, or whatever he wants to be. But let me just use a doctor, for example. He wants to be a doctor. Before he went to that school, all he had about the medical school was just a vision. So, but he knows that school has the capacity to take him from where he is to where he desires to be. So what is a school? A school is a place where you go. There was nothing there but except the vision to be a doctor. And you go through a year and keep going the next year. And each year you go through classes, you go through everything, you go through testings to pass to the next class, you go through exams, you go through tests. You don't just go through all this without any test. You don't go through without exams. Because they want to find out, are you really serious? Are you really studying? You pay school fees, you pay tuition. I mean, there's a lot. You have sleepless nights. You go through the discipline of going to that school and the requirements of that school. And then you go through it, you pass, you go to the next year. If you fail, you will not continue. But when you pass, you go through, then after a while, you graduate with a lot of head knowledge and some practicals. Now, as a medical doctor, now they don't take you into another level of going through this housemanship, internship, where you now use most of the 3-4 years, you know, doing practical things. And going through all the practical, until you graduate from that. You pass the board, you go through, and then you go again now. After you graduate, your name changes from Bomati to Dr. Bomati. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Why is the change of name? Because you've graduated. You are not the person that went to that school anymore when you went. You are by reason of your training and all the tests you've gone through, you now have doctor attached to your name. Dr. Busola. Amen?
Amen.
You now have doctor attached. Why? Because you've been certified to go to any hospital and they will trust you with another person's life. Mm. Operate on them, prescribe medication that will either save that person's life. Now, if you didn't graduate, the government will not certify you. You cannot practice. Amen?
Amen.
So, having that understanding now, there is a transition based on transformation of the mind from just nobody to school to now a doctor. That's the worst way of doing this. So that change of name, doctor, is now who you are. It's now your identity. It's now your influence. It's now your function. It's your place of authority. You don't have to jump up, jump down for people to know you're a doctor. You have it in you. If you're walking the street, somebody's hurt, you know exactly what to do. So having that understanding, the transformation that transitions you to become an identity based on your training, what happens? The kingdom of God, Paul was saying, the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's a substance. It's real. It is spiritual because you can't see it with the natural eyes. The kingdom of God created the world here. It was from the kingdom of God, it was spoken into here. Let there be this, let there be that, let there be this. Amen? This place, every life that lives here lives by sight, by your 5 senses. You're hearing me, you're seeing me, and I'm demonstrating your breathing. These are the 5 senses. Amen? So the kingdom of this world lives by sight and feelings. And if I feel it, if I see it, if I touch it, if I have money in the bank, I know I can say I will pay for this. If I don't have money in the bank, I cannot pay for it. Here, if I'm sick, of course the doctor can do his best. If the doctor cannot help me, I'm doomed. That is just practical. That's the physical world, it's the real world. But this kingdom here, Jesus, you cannot see it,
Jesus,
with your natural eyes. You cannot hear it with your natural ears. You cannot feel it. There is nothing natural about it. Is spiritual. So faith is simply the opposite of living, but living by the Spirit. You are living here naturally, what you see, what you hear, what you do, what you feel. Living by faith is the same. The difference is You have to be born again. Born again means you are physically here. I was living for the world. All of a sudden, I got born again. And Jesus told Nicodemus, how can a man, he says, if unless you are born again, you cannot see here. So that means to be born again means somebody is born into your spirit. And that person is not natural. And that person, because it's not natural, he should be able to see in the spirit. Amen? So now, you're born again here is the introduction to the spiritual realm, to the kingdom that is spiritual. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence you don't see. So, you're here, you're born again. The fact that you're born again doesn't make you not a natural person. Amen? But you're born again. Means somebody is being supernaturally regenerated in you. It's him here. But as long as this person remains a child, what does it mean remains a child? This person is inside of you, but every time you live in this world, all you do is based on what you see, what you feel, what you touch. You still don't know if you are born again. You're still living like somebody under the influence of this world that has no greater solution to problems. So you're still in bondage to the rudiments of this world. You're still subject to the elements, to the problems, to every satanic, everything that is happening in this world. You live, they go up, you go up, you come down, you're just going with the flow of the world. That's what we live in, that bondage, in the rudiments. The system of this world still dominates us. So the reason we are born again is because God has now, through Jesus, provided victory over this world. And John says, what is it that overcomes the system of this world? Even our word, faith. So what is faith? He says, let me use another illustration. Right here, there was a brother. God wanted to do something in the earth there, in the world there. And he wanted to do it. And he wanted to let people know that he is God, he exists. Because the people here are so natural, they can't see him. So what did he do? He found a man there, his name is Joseph. And he gave him a vision about the plan of God for his time. And when he gave Joseph a vision, Joseph was living with his parents here at the age of 17. So he received a vision about the plan of heaven, and he received it, and it was a greater plan. So Joseph is here, and he told his brothers, he said, look at what I saw, look at what heaven is wanting to do with my life, what God is going to do. And he shared it, and his brothers were in the natural. Amen? Anytime you see jealousy and envy, it's because of the insecurity of the human nature. Mm-hmm. It's still the level that we have not. Yes, it says if you're born again, you will see. But if you're born of water and blood, you will enter. Meaning when you mature by the spirit in this earthly world, you are operating from kingdom mindset. So, he told his brothers his dream. Of course, flesh got into it. Insecurity got into it. So they said, you know what? Let's see how this vision is going to happen. Let's see what God said will happen. So they took him the first time. They said, let's kill him. They said, no, let's not kill him. Let's put him in the pit. It's called preachers in training. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Pastors in training. School of faith. They put him there. Later, they change their mind. We can make more money better this way. So, they traded him for money. They made him a slave. Now, this is your brothers. They violated you. Mm-hmm. By human nature, offense is stealing. By human nature, you are bitter. By human nature, unforgiveness. By human nature, Vengeance has entered your heart. That's human. But there's something about faith that looks beyond humans and human activities. Paul, fast forward, he says, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. When you walk by faith, there are certain things you begin to see beyond human, and you begin to overcome human offenses. So Joseph was what that example. His focus was on that vision, the plan of God, the word of God, what God is revealing, what God said he would do. But the more he looked to that thing, first, his brothers wanted, the next, he's now a slave. Somebody that was free is now a slave. After he became a slave, he came to this place, to Potiphar's house. Listen to Joseph's life. His faith was being tested. What is the test of faith? Are you going to listen to what your brothers did? Are you going to listen to how they betrayed you? Are you going to listen to now you're a slave? Or are you going to listen to what God told you you are and you become? That's what Joseph did. Faith is the ability to see what was said here about you. What God says here, what God plans here. Faith is the ability to see here rather than walking by sight and emotions. So he heard in the spirit he was going to be a ruler. He saw in the dream he was going to be a ruler by the things that was revealed. That is the eyes of faith. In the natural, he's a slave. In the natural, he's been betrayed. In the natural, Satan has sowed the seed of offense and unforgiveness. In the natural, the enemy is trying to stop that thing. But he kept on looking to what God said. He kept on standing on the word of the Lord. He came up to here again. What happened? The enemy came back. He's working for this wonderful man. You can never do a good job and be so excellent in what you're doing if you're carrying offenses, if you're carrying hurts, if you're carrying woundedness, if you're carrying betrayal. It's going to show in your job. It did not show in Joseph's job. Joseph was found to be honest man, faithful man, committed to Potiphar. He did so much that the Bible says in Egypt, he was better than all the Egyptian ones. Potiphar, he found favor. My brothers, listen to the person that found favor. Listen to why they try everything will go through. God is saying, don't look there, look to God. Look to the word of God. Whose report? Something Joseph was doing was bringing victory over everything that was happening against his soul. So when he got here, the devil came again through Potiphar's wife. He wanted his husband's worker. Joseph said, I can do it. And he ran away. By doing that, the Potiphar's wife, okay, he's going to go tell everybody this. So what? Let me come up with a strategy. And then he what? Lied. He wanted accusation against. He wanted heaped up to the point he provoked Potiphar. That this master that trusted the servant was now defamed. What happened when the enemy does that? He was thrown in a dungeon. That was worse than felony, where he was put. It was a dungeon you don't come out. Amen? So here is somebody that just had a message from the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Had a message from heaven. And heaven says, you're going to be a ruler. The world made you slave. The world, first of all, betrayed you, made you slave. These are your brothers. From there, you say, oh, it's my brothers. No, you now come to Potiphar's house. The wife made you. Who is doing all that? It's at the end, Joseph says, it wasn't you. It was the one who wanted to attack my destiny. Because if it was you, you would have stopped after I left the father's house. He was using other areas. Amen?
Amen?
So, what does it mean to live by faith? you will see it very soon. He was in this world. The world was not fair, but there was a reason why he was an overcomer. Because he was living by faith. Then, by the time he came out of dungeon, he was in the dungeon, then he was also faithful. He was serving diligently. Let me tell you the truth, offended men cannot be that faithful. A suspicious, angry, whatever state you are, that you've been so much has been sown into your soul, you can't be faithful in jail. You will always reference what has been done to you. The injustice, the wickedness, the betrayal, what this did to me, what that did. I never did that to the wife. I was faithful to look at what the wife of that. The people in jail will know of it. But instead, the head of the jail said, this man is so faithful, and then made him the head over the jailers.
Jesus.
There's something that is causing that. That's not normal. It's human. He has feelings like every human. But he was living by faith. Finally, all these trials caused him to graduate to a matured Christian. At the point of his maturity, he's now graduated. It's like a doctor. He's now graduated, but what is the graduate? He graduated to understand maturity. In that maturity, God says the time has come for you to be a ruler. And God started orchestrating the process, and he ended up a ruler. That's what Paul is saying here. When you are born again, God has planted in you the seed of Christ. You have been planted into a royal family. The family that only knows dominion and rulership. The family that has overcome Satan. The one that is seated far above all things. Just like Joseph, the dream was there. The vision was there. What did the enemy start? He started the testing. What is the testing? To mature your focus in this world. And his focus was not all this. His focus was the kingdom. It was the word of God. It was what God revealed to him. It was what God said you are. And every trial he went through, he was saying, no, this is who I am. This is what God says that I am. He prayed into it. He worshipped into it. He served into it. And he carried the fear of God. Fear, anytime you hear a man or woman that fears God, meaning they hold the word of God as their counsel. They stand on the word of God. So Joseph did that. Now, number one, he walked by faith. Simply this: everything that is happening in this earthly practical world, he based everything, referenced everything by what he had from this world. He was living there, but all his life there was focused on what was said in him. And the Bible says, we walk not, W-A-L-K, we walk not by sight, meaning emotions and the feelings here. We walk by faith, meaning the things you don't see that has been told you. And eventually, what happened? He manifested what was after he got mature. A quick example before we start rounding up the direction. In the book of Romans chapter 4, the Bible says here from verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many what? Nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as what? Who against hope believed in what? Hope. That he might become the father of what? Many nations. What is he saying? God called a man by Abraham here. Amen? His name is Abraham. Abraham. And God told him here, you will be the father of many nations. But as Abraham started walking with God, trusting God, what happened? The wife's womb started dying. Abraham started getting old. So Everything God told him was contrary to what he sees with his eyes, what he feels as a human being, what the statistics or the nature of man says right here. Everything God told him that the kingdom of God will do, his life and his wife's lives was contrary. So at a point, they got to this point, nothing has happened. God has blessed him, but no child. One of the challenges we face is we always think faith need man's help. Faith is actually the absence of human help. So Abraham and Sarah at some point said, maybe we need to help God get this done. And that's how Ishmael was born. Amen?
Amen.
So finally, God visited him and said, now Abraham, that thing I spoke to you 25 years ago about, it's not going to happen. Abraham said, listen to faith. Abraham said, look at my wife. Her womb is what? Dead. Look at me. I am what? Almost 100 years old. 99. How can it be? How can this happen? And he started laughing. Amen? So this is what everything the system of the world works by is contrary to the way this kingdom operates. From this kingdom, from Genesis, anything God speaks into the earth will never fail to manifest. Everything God speaks here, no man can stop it.
Jesus.
That's the reason why God intentionally from here looked at various people there and says, all this Bible was spoken through people. I say, write them down. I'm showing you the end from the beginning. I'm showing you my plans. I'm speaking it forth. And everything God spoke is right here about the future of man. Why does God do it? Exactly because he wants to show the whole world there's only one God. Why does God speak from there to us here? Because he wants to show the world Satan is a tool that manifests his purpose. Why does God speak there and say here? He wants to show the whole world no man should be afraid of Satan. The fear of man is what puts you into snare. The fear of God is what gives you victory. What is the fear of God? Taking God's word as your standard of life. So, what does Satan do here? What did he do to Joseph? He heard God say, Joseph, I'll make you a ruler. What did he do? Every step he took to destroy Joseph brought Joseph to the throne. What did he do to Abraham and Sarah? Everything that he tried to make them believe until the point God allowed Sarah's womb to die, Abraham to get old, brought them to the point of fulfilling the birth of Isaac. What is faith? Faith is when the doctor says it's over. The Bible says the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me. That same spirit will quicken my mortal body. I was having some severe, I can't even tell you for time. It was so bad. And I considered so many options. Then it got worse. I said, I have medical insurance. I have all this stuff. I do physical. I'm not against, I have medical insurance. I consider many things. So finally, I made up my mind. I said, God, I believe I want to experience, I want to experience you here. So I trusted God, and I started trying to make it happen. It got worse. The pain increased, and the pain increased. I laid on the bed. I didn't want Keziah to even know. It's been a while ago. And I laid at the pain got worse, my back and stuff. And I stayed there until this scripture came to my spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. I recited the preacher, I prayed it, and I decided to go contrary to the pain. It was painful, it was everything, but that scripture will not leave my spirit. And I just continued doing everything until that scripture became louder than the pain. That scripture became more real than the pain. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God became more real than my pain. And as soon as, not the letter, but the spirit of that word became real here, my whole body was restored. So, that scripture is not letter to me today. That scripture is kingdom.
Amen.
It's reality. So, faith is when this place becomes your reality, when you are dealing with physical realities here. When you get to the point where sight and emotions begin to submit to what you don't see, until what you don't see dominates what you see. That's the training of the school of faith. The reason it's called the school of faith is you don't get there overnight. But if you don't practice it, you never even enter the school. There are levels of graduating from the school in some capacity. Where we are today in America, by the way, you all know Sarah's womb eventually gave Isaac, Joseph, Ruth, all this, they went to the school of faith. They were called, Abraham was called father of faith. That's, he said, by faith, it's his school. And you start passing the test as you go. Amen? Where we are today in America, and what is happening, God is shaking everything individually that is not faith is going to be shaken. Every church that is not operating by faith is going to be shaken. Because the Bible says, without faith, there is no transaction with heaven. Without faith, there is no connection. Without faith, you are not walking with God. You can be in a church. You can be in the church, but it says, as long as you remain like a child, your faith is not produced the test of faith and grow. Spiritual growth is not the knowledge you have. It's the testing you've gone through and proving your trust before God. Without tests, you don't really know the foundation you're standing in. If you are afraid of darkness and you have not discovered that God is light, you'll be afraid of darkness. If you are afraid of death and you've not discovered that you were taken from death to life, you'll be afraid of dying. You can't, the moment you're born again, you can't die again. Except you doubt your salvation. Because you are taken from death to life, from darkness to life, to light. You are taken from sin or to righteousness. These are the foundations, and God says, grow in it. Amen?
Amen.
Where the nation is, the season we are in, is the season of the Lord. Amen. When the Bible says in the last days, I will shake everything that can be shaken, so that those things that cannot be shaken will be established. He's saying, I'm going to reveal the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. And it's only by faith you see it, and only by faith you enter it, and only by faith you walk with the kingdom and the kingdom ways. And then what happens in the shaking, what God is about to do is, there's so many people that have been in the wilderness of the school of faith. They've been in the caves of the school of faith. They've been in the trials of the school of faith. That's why every generation, when God is about to do something, you will see all of a sudden the nobodies rise up.
Mm.
Why are they nobodies? Because they've been in the training ground. Because when God is shaking, faith is the only thing that responds correctly. Mm-hmm. Every other thing reacts. So, we are just seeing the beginning of shaking. Nations are going to be shaking. Kingdoms are going to be shaking. Finances are going to be shaking. Everything, health is being shaken with COVID.
Amen.
And God is asking one question. Shall I find faith? Shall I find faith? Because faith makes this place more real than this place. So I want to encourage you today. If you're in the same boat with Jesus as the church, mm-hmm. and the cloud and the things are raging,
mm.
amen? Amen? Jesus, wake up! Lest we die. That was a training. There's nothing wrong with that. But the question Jesus asks is, where is your what?
Faith.
It was a training. They were going through some things, they see Jesus doing miracles, and they say, God, increase what?
Faith.
Peter has a zeal for God. He wants to run with God. He wants to go and just passionate for God. What happened? He was tested. He said he would walk with Jesus. Jesus said, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? He says, Satan meant to sift you like what? Like with, but what I prayed for you that what? Your faith will not fail.
Jesus.
Your faith will stand.
Mm.
Why? Because faith is the only way you anchor. Mm. Like that song, your rock is steady on Christ.
Mm.
Let's stand up together. My brothers and sisters, without faith, there's no reality of the kingdom of God. We can come to church and shout. But faith is what makes God real to man. Amen?
Amen.
And faith is what makes you real to God. So this morning, I want you to know, and I want you to pray this. See, the greatest enemy of fear is faith. I can take you to scriptures where every time I say, fear not. And when fear comes, you see the men of faith will say, open your eyes and see the kingdom
Amen.
Around you. In this time we're living with COVID and all that is happening, God is looking for faith. So today, ask God to increase what?
Faith.
And you know faith has to be tested. Amen?
Amen.
So when the test of faith comes, amen.
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 Always remember that any man of faith is greater than 10,000 people without faith.
Yes.
Because faith brings God into every situation.
Yes.
And where God is, you have majority.
Amen.
So I want you to know, as we move into the seasons ahead, let your faith speak.
Amen.
Stand, begin to trust God by faith. Believe the word of God. And let not your life be governed by fear. Whose report? This is our report. And God is about to do exploits to the remnant whose faith is about to stand for God. So I want you to pray, you and the Lord. Ask the Lord. You heard what I said. You've heard the message. Where is your faith? You and the Lord, talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Kizaya, come and lead us. You and the Lord, just you and the Lord. Sometimes you have to close your eyes to connect. Amen?
speak to the Lord. The man said to Jesus, increase my faith. Let's ask the Lord to increase our faith as individuals and as a group, as a team, that the Lord will establish us in him today. That we'll be people of faith. He says, will he find faith on earth? If the Lord does not find faith among us, we are wasting our time. So let's ask the Lord, Father, increase my faith. And give me the endurance, oh God. Help me to stand. Help me to stand, oh God, in the place that is so real, the unseen. Help me, oh God. Help me, my Father, as we hold on to you, that anchor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help us to stand. Jesus. Jesus. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior. One more time. We have an anchor. We Father, we hold on to your love today.
Yes.
We hold on to you for dear life.
Yes.
Father, if it's left to ourselves, like Peter, we think we can stand until the shaking starts. So, Lord, without you, we will be shaken away, we'll fall away. But today, as one, my Father, we say we hold on to that anchor. We hold on to that anchor for dear life. Oh God, is there shaking out there? There's shaking all around us. Even the ground will soon shake. Even the earth will soon shake. The heavens and the earth are shaking. But today we put our hands in your hand, oh God. We say, help us to stand. Help us to stand unmovable, steadfast, unmovable. Oh God, help each one here. From the oldest to the youngest, Father, take a hold of us. And run with us today in the name of Jesus. Father, put shoes on our feet. Help us, oh God, may we not buckle. May we not go in error. May we not fall away. Oh Jesus, we hold on to you in the name of Jesus. Father, you say you've given to each of us the measure of faith. Now we ask as a family, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Help us to be people of faith. Help me, help my brother, help me to be a woman of the Spirit, a woman of the Word. May each one here be a man and a woman of the Spirit and of the Word. For only that will stand, my Father. So help us, O God, in the name of Jesus. We declare that none of us in Mount Zion, none of us seated here, none of us, nobody listening to this broadcast this morning will miss it. In the name of Jesus, we put our faith in you and we begin to speak to our souls even right now. We begin to address our souls and we say to our souls, arise, 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 out of the ashes, arise. For the resurrected Lord has resurrected us in the name of Jesus. Every deadness in our lives, every slowness, every weakness, every delay, every fear, everything that holds us down, today we cut you off in the name of Jesus. And we begin to prophesy strength to ourselves in the name of Jesus. The Bible says to say to those that are fearful hearted, be strong. For your God is coming to save you. Oh God, we look to you in the name of Jesus. As many as has came here this day, as many as are watching that are shaking, oh God, in their hearts, in their situations. Right now, we ask for a release of the angels of the Lord. Steady your people. Pick your people up. Help your people to stand in the name of Jesus. We come against that will shake and make people fall away. We stand on that kingdom. The Bible says this is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We come to that kingdom. And Father, we thank you. Lord, help us. May our eyes begin to see in the spirit. So Lord, we'll see more in the spirit. And we'll take a hold of the reality of the spirit and not the physical. In the name of Jesus. We cry out for America this morning, that the spirit of the Lord will move over this land and cause that is not of you to bow, and let your kingdom stand in this land all over the world. Today, Father, we say, may your kingdom come, may your will be done in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the word that we received this morning. We go out of here walking as victors. Yes. We sang that song today, and we walk away as victors. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for what you have done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you praise tonight. We give you praise this morning. We give you praise in the afternoon. We give you praise all day. For we will walk on the street, oh God, that has only victory. No defeat. No defeat. No failure. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. This season of Thanksgiving, we will have even more testimonies. Even that we have heard this morning, how you surprise our sister. Surprise us, not just in physical things, not just in material things. Wake us up in the morning. Wake us up at night. May we begin to speak as people of faith. May we decree things at night. And when we wake up in the morning, we see it happening over our children, over our marriages, over our health, over our finances, over our businesses, over all that concerns us. Lord, teach us to speak like you do, to call those things that be not as though they were. And Lord, back up our words, oh God. Back up our words. Don't leave us by ourselves. As we speak your word, Father, give life to it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it is well with us. Thank you for it's a new season. You take us from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you for those that are visiting us today. Father, may they not leave here the same way they came. May we not leave here the same way we came. May we live here with a fresh understanding that the Spirit of the Lord has awakened us. And we receive that awakening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give somebody a smile. Smile. Say hello to somebody. A nice compliment. I know we are not shaking and hugging as usual, but you can smile at somebody. Hallelujah. It's good to see you, Josh. Miss Miriam, God bless you.